No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're here. It's Old School with Foreman and Orman. Welcome to the show on a hump day. Just Foreman and Orman today. Just be handling some business. So, 3 hours of Austin Orman and, more importantly, Jay Foreman. What's good, Hall of Famer? How are you doing?
Man, I was trying to tell Farley he needs to listen to David Goggins.
And why does Farley need to listen to David Goggins?
He needs some guidance.
Some direction?
Mm-hmm. But he'll be all right, though.
He will be. Our listeners will also be all right. 0298 is not the first person to ask this, but in case there are questions, yes, the Royals are playing right now. No, we are not carrying them. Yes, we are still Lincoln's home for the Royals. There were some issues from the storm. So our people, that's above my pay grade, they are out trying to fix the tower, trying to fix the satellite, all that good stuff. So once we have that signal back, you will get the Royals games back. That's kind of the deal there. Eric chimes in and says, David Goggins is the freaking man. What does David Goggins offer in the way of life advice that Farley would need to follow? Would it apply to some of our listeners out there as well? Why should they get into David Goggins?
Well, we can't say what he says on air.
Well, obviously.
But I think, who said that? What texter said that?
That was Eric.
Eric, I'm going to call Farley, and I'm just going to leave him a voice text or whatever. You know, voice, was it memo?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go through the David Goggins on him. Yeah.
Give him the whole rundown.
Yeah, he always say you're just a blank. You know what I mean? He's like a shut up, do more. I mean, I'm sure it's all for show. He's a Navy SEAL. He lost a whole bunch of weight, but I think I remember hearing this thing. I think for the Navy SEALs, which is crazy, is there's only
looks intense.
There's only like 60 African-American, and all the different SEAL teams, I think, or something like that.
How many different SEAL teams are there?
The numbers are low.
Ah.
And I think, I don't even know if that's in the SEAL team. I just think in period that we're able to pass through the thing. Not the kid. You ain't getting me to do none of that.
you got medical exemptions, Jay.
Hey, you know, back when I was a kid, I think it was maybe Ronald Reagan or something like that was the president. I don't know who was it. Remember he had the Star Wars program?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I'm living in, Frederick Gaithersburg. So we right in there, man. You know, we hearing all the, whether you want to call it propaganda or not, I'm watching the news. This is how I was scared, because my grandfather, everybody in my family, if you didn't go play football, they were they served. So I grew up in a military family, right? I know it don't seem like it, especially when I would get in the garage on the Modelos. But so my grandmother worked, you know, down, you know, Capitol Hill. She was like a higher level secretary, and you know, she'd bring some files home.
Oh, so she knows some stuff.
Yeah, but you know, she was like, you ain't supposed to look through that. Well, as soon as she go up there, you know, I saw some stuff. I was like, well, then they would have the things. You know, remember when Geraldo Rivera did like a month long thing on like Al Capone?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some stuff that kind of like, you know, so I saw some pictures, some Polaroids. Well, here's the thing. Like, I started watching that. Then remember they were like, I think Ronald Reagan, I think it was. I don't get into politics, but I think Ronald Reagan was there because I remember Star Wars. But then he was doing the fight on drugs,
mm-hmm,
and then the gangs.
Yeah.
Well, then here I thought, I'm thinking in my mind, what if they come and get me? Straight up. Right?
Just yank you out of school?
You know, I'd be up all night worried, man. It was just like, I was in D.C. right in the height of the stuff, man. And then, you know, they had the Star Wars. And then, you know, then obviously back to, you know, like the military, you know. So I, you know, the whole David Goggins thing, it's you know, kind of, you know, where they were thinking about drafting people, right? Or mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. Oh, we got might have to draft. Well, I remember my uncle Hotsy came over. Now I got this another uncle, right? Hotsy. He's like, man, you ain't got to worry about that when you get old enough. You got flat feet. So I'm like, so my whole life, knowing dang well if they need me to go, I'm going to go. But I was like, I got flat feet, so I'm good. You know what I'm saying? You know they put some arch supports in there. You better get your butt out there. We about to go do some work.
Nope. Flat feet. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I'd be like the Ram Bro. Not Rambo. Ram Bro.
Ram Bro?
Yeah. As long as I got one of those guns from the, you remember the Predator?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? What was it? The Tommy gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just need that. Because I don't have a good aim. I'm just trying to mow down the whole block. Yeah. And then I got to run for cover.
Get your flat feet running for cover.
Yep. Oh, I'll be fast then.
Eric says Goggins was an ultra marathoner, 100 miles plus, and also holds the world record for pull-ups in 24 hours.
Yeah, he's
pretty impressive. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, he's done some crazy stuff. He did the bat, like someone, like, you know, you go out in the desert and run, and there's supposed to be a team of four.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it by himself.
Woof. Do you think you've run 100 combined miles in your life?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
200?
Yeah, 200.
500?
No.
Okay.
My limit is 250.
In your entire life, you think you've run 250 miles?
Oh, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
easy.
Through everything you've done, you've hit 250.
Easy. Easy. Doug, you got to think, we would have over 200 plays in practice,
mm-hmm,
with Coach Osborne.
Yeah.
That's 5 years. Let alone Dom Capers.
Okay. In the Houston Heat.
Right. Let alone when you're growing up, you used to have to do like the mile, like at least in for gym class, mm-hmm, you'd have to do miles. So you had to, you know, work up to that for sure. Easily.
1,000 miles?
No. I hope not. Well, actually, you know what? I probably had over 1,000. That's why my feet are all messed up.
Probably.
Yeah.
This won't shock you, but pull-ups were not exactly my specialty.
No, I don't think anybody's was.
I mean, apparently David Goggins can specialize in them. Man. A world record for pull-ups in 24 hours. Like, I start getting a 10. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much done here.
That's too much work.
Pull-ups suck.
That's true. Like strength, like
it's core, it's strength. Arms, it's, yeah, upper body. Ugh.
I think you got to do it and then fall in love with it. You know,
what was your best lift?
Ooh, probably. I mean, squat. Probably. I mean, we did a lot of that stuff. Hang clean. When I first started, you know that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, man. You know, this is back to when I was in Houston. So Ray Wright was assistant, like, weight coach, you know. But he would, you know, work out with us, man. And he used to put me, we only did squats in the offseason. Nothing really in the season. If you did squats during the season because you didn't want to get hurt, it was more for high reps and stuff. So we'd do this leg press, you know, workout. And I remember, man, on he's like, we're going heavy on Friday. Like heavy.
Heavy.
And we did it before a preseason game, and I still was sore, but it was he was like forecasting that this I would get used to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna tell you what, that probably added 2 more years of my career. My legs felt phenomenal, but they were always strong and steady. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was like he timed it up, the lactic acid, and you know that you know we'd overload on like some fruit and pineapple and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably leg press. That was like for me, it was my wheels and my quickness and how I like. I mean, obviously my mind I think was pretty good, but I think I was telling people always ask like what it takes. I was like, you know what. I was not the biggest guy because that's when you think of like a big fast linebacker when I was playing, you think of like Andy Katzenmeyer when he came out, he was like 6'4", 250, you know, like probably 2% body fat, like 4'4", 40. Like
trim.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he was obviously enhanced, but still, or like we talk about Brian Cushing, who ran, you know,
or another Brian Bosworth.
Yeah. Sub 4'5" guys, mm-hmm. right? Big dudes. And so I was, 6'2", 240 something, 238, 242, 4.55, at my peak or whatever. But like in the quickness and stuff, that's where I was good at. On the bench, I was like 22 on the, it wasn't
a, I was 225.
The, yeah.
Yeah.
But you had guys there would do like, I remember his name was, it was like Danico Alton or something like that. He was from some like small school dude just came out there and did like 38. Like you got boy, I was like, dang, but so it wasn't the strongest, but I definitely was well above that.
Mm-hmm.
There was bigger linebackers, as far as weight and all that, and obviously faster or whatever, but I think it was the quicks that was it. And I think that was part of it though.
So would you consider yourself kind of on that leading edge of like side to side rangy kind of middle linebackers?
Yeah, but see back then that was a negative.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I felt like I played my best at 238. Now, I would say the one regret. Now, if I did.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I wouldn't say call it a regret. If I really could do one thing, well, two things differently, I obviously probably handle the situation in Buffalo a little bit with a more, couth.
Level-headed response.
Right. And understanding the whole dynamics of it. And then number two, as I got later in my career, really had a better landscape of the game of football, where it was going. So instead of being 240, I would have rather tried to see what I could have done at 230. Now, it would have took a lot of work.
Well, that's hard, too. I mean, the older you get, the more often you're bulking up instead of trimming down.
Yeah, but you see guys now they're able to extend their career, especially coming off the type of, like, injury I had, you like to be a little bit. But that's, you're up here, you're picking, I exceeded expectations tenfold. So, I mean, I was just thinking, when it came to that. And when you talked about being on a leading edge, it went from a copycat league that when Tampa wanted, everybody wanted to go to Tampa 2. Not really small linebackers, probably more of a 3 technique, right? And then 3-4 with the Patriots. But then the game in the league changed with the rules. Then it became smaller linebackers, kind of, you know, really, really small linebackers. But really, to be honest with you, I think probably the depth of speed is probably, it's hard for me even to say that's better when you, because I always look at the combine numbers.
Right.
They're definitely not as, like, big and strong as us. So I even question that the game has really changed that much. I think that, what guys look like is different. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, where you got to cover maybe a little bit better. Maybe since they're so much smaller, they're better coverage guys. But then I would say,
but who are they being asked to cover is probably a little bit different.
A little bit different, yeah, because you know they'll probably put you out there on the slot a little. But I also think that the guys that played when I played and a little bit shortly after were way better football players, smarter, more invested. So that would make up for any advantage that they have right now. That's in my opinion.
That's interesting because even just last year, we started seeing the NFL start swinging back a little bit, right? Maybe not in terms of linebacker size. That's not something you're changing in 1 year. But think about one of the defining things through the first couple months of last NFL season, Jay. A lot more cover two, which led to a lot more of offenses running the ball out of heavier personnels. It's funny how the league cycles like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes and them really scared the daylights out of the league. And it was reminiscent with Peyton Manning and the Colts. You know what I mean? Heck, they have a route named the Colt route. And that's what...
Are you familiar with that one?
I am. It's horrible. And everybody did it. But then the Chiefs brought it back. You know, if you think of the deep overs by Tyreek Hill, that's essentially the Colt route.
Okay.
You go from a slot to the opposite.
To the deep over. Yeah.
Deep over. And they just throw it and you just outrun me or anybody. And then the safeties are playing. So, you know, they're either trying to play top down on it, so it doesn't matter, or they're playing at you know, so far out of the screen that it's an easy pitch and catch, especially when the corners can't come off and lay those guys out. And so now you're seeing a lot of split safeties, right?
Right.
So you're seeing a deep cover two. They're mixing up cover two a lot differently, though, too. I like
just it. Just in terms of rotating safeties or pre-snap, post-snap?
They'll take a slot, right? So he's playing off in the slot. And the slot means on cover two, right? He's looking like he's going to play deep to short, like, I call it a fire zone or cover three, you know, a deeper cover three, right? Down the distance. He'll go to the half, right? You'll have an off corner come up and play a hard
play
corner.
Down. Yeah.
Flat. So then the safety that was actually there will come down and play the middle hook or run with cover three. They really do a couple. Now, that's where I think the game has changed.
Is that a Vic thing? Vic Fangio? Or where's that?
No, that's it. Vic does it. Everybody does it now. I mean, just it kind of depends. You'll see it when we play Michigan with Wink Martindale. They'll do all types of stuff now. Because I think there's more hybrid type of players. They're not safeties. They're not linebackers. But they can run and they can do different things. So I think you can find ways to kind of expand your roster.
Has training led to, you know, maybe slightly bigger, faster, stronger on the margins players that defensive coordinators are adapting to? Like, did the players lead to the change in scheme, or did changing schemes lead to finding more of those tweener players, do you think?
That's a good question, man. I don't know. I mean, I'd probably say it's a little bit of both because I think, I was talking to one of my basketball players about this. Look, you got to look at it. Like, when I was thinking about playing basketball, just say there was 500 kids. Mm-hmm. Now there's 5,000. So there's more. And when you go to football, same thing. So I think instead of people batting down the hatches and say, okay, we're just only going to recruit. Now it's expanded. So then now you can find a guy that you can, you know, sometimes play both ways, like you see in Minnesota with their guy or with Travis Hunter, or you can find somebody's up, man, we don't necessarily have a position for him, but he's a heck of a football player and a good athlete. So
we got to get him on the field.
We got to get him on the field. So I think the minds of coordinators have opened, but I think that's also in reaction to the rules and the explosiveness and the more aggressive play calling. Mm-hmm. So you have to really change.
You got to go find Jabril Peppers. Isaiah Simmons.
Right. And Patrick Chung and all those guys and Cam Chancellor and all those guys. Where a couple years prior or a couple years later, like, oh, well, those dudes can't cover it. Like Cam Chancellor right now, he would be unstoppable because he can cover enough. He definitely can hit. You know, I mean, I saw a thing. I was on the Porcelain Throne, just figuring out the world's problems. Jamal Adams is down with the Raiders playing linebacker.
Wait, they moved him to linebacker?
Yeah. But he's playing playing it. Not like, not like nickel.
No.
Oh, he's like straight up. And he is.
I like that.
But he's balling. He's taking on linemen. He's so quick and so fast.
Mm-hmm. You can't and big enough that he's not going to get bullied.
Right. So when I played, the only place that he could probably go play is Tampa. Because they ran that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you know what's funny? I know the draft is over, obviously, in training camp. I remember Tampa called me. And this is when we talked about yesterday or what day it was with DP, and we're talking about the, you know, like, I guess, NIL or having people with experience talking to the players. This is another example, and this is probably on my – agent, but not really, you know. It's because it is, you know. I like Peter. Let's always blame him. Who cares? You know what I mean? Let's just blame him. You know, it's Peter. Everything's Peter's fault, but and Blake's fault. Is that when Tampa wanted smaller linebackers, right? That's what they played. Hardy Nickerson, who was extremely physical, was maybe 225, 230 at the most.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was a dude.
He'd still hit you.
Hey. Hey. He'd destroy cats, right? And then Derek Brooks was like 215, 220. And then they'd have like Shelton Quarles or someone. And they were real small, right? They would be able to run and, right? So they called me up pre-draft and they were asking me what about my weight or whatever. I would have been better off lying to them. But in my mind, you know,
I mean, honesty is always the best policy,
right? But it don't matter. I'm trying to get paid,
right?
Because I could have got down, I could have maybe done it, and I would have had to adapt, right? And they just drafted Jamie Duncan, who played at Vanderbilt, who was supposed to be replacing. He would, right? So I'm like, they don't, you know. But when you think about it, it's almost like highlighting certain things in your resume. But the game had changed, it was only Tampa,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, it was. You know, Bill Parcells was at that time with the Jets. They had, you know, Mo Lewis and all those guys. And, you know, Sam Cowher was, you know, big, you know, like John Hollisek was, you know, you had former defensive ends playing OLB.
Playing linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, so if you were under 230 or under 235, that was a red flag. Could you hold up?
Interesting.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean
anymore.
Yeah. Back then, it really didn't even. And then you'd like that. You'd have to be big enough, but I think you know, smaller guys would be fine.
1171 has a question for you, Jay. Speaking of coverage linebackers, who would you say are the better coverage linebackers in the NFL today?
Fred Warner,
good at everything.
Bobby Wagner,
good at everything.
And Bobby Wagner, maybe not so much.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
he used to
but
have
still,
it.
He's a dude. I mean, all of them, like
Smith. Queen.
Yes, Queen is definitely more of a coverage linebacker. Mm-hmm. Smith is really, really good, but more of a kind of a hook dropper, whereas, like, I think there's two different – I think Fred Warner can do everything. Bobby Wagner and Smith are good and probably – like, a lot of me were, like, 18, 20 yards, but, you know, Fred Warner, no, they could cover all the way down the seam. Mm-hmm. Queen, for sure, he's more of a safety to me. Even like Blake Cashman that played for the Vikings, he can do, he's a good coverage guy, smaller, right? Mm-hmm. He played at the Gophers. Was it Tualo that the Houston Texans have?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's, he's kind of like a Fred Warner type.
Do you think Adams is going to be a good coverage guy at linebacker?
Oh, yeah.
Coming from safety?
Yeah, if they keep him, he's going to be a problem. Because his break on the ball, if he stays healthy in the middle of the field, is
different.
And blitzing.
I mean, trained.
And then blitzing. Yeah, I mean, so.
You give him a 5-yard head start.
Right. So, Levante David, the excellent in coverage. I mean, excellent still to this day. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you're probably not as fleet as foot as he was, but you when you're year 14, but he's a guy that I would definitely.
Bond from the Eagles, where does he fall?
Yeah, he's
there.
Yeah. They don't ask him to do much because this is the way Vic plays. Now losing Gardner Johnson is going to hurt, but that's where they have three safeties and that's where Vic can do his stuff. But I will tell you, I was just thinking of him, not from Tampa, or Levante David. There's what's his name? The Franklin's pretty good, but he's more of a kind of the box guy, just coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a plethora of really good coverage linebackers. But the guys that we mentioned are probably the best, like as far as
the normal linebackers that you think of.
And she's got a couple good lines. I like Bolton. I like their linebackers.
Bolton's interesting.
I like him.
Tranquil less so. Bolton does more of that, doesn't he?
They kind of switch off.
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought Drew Tranquil was really, really good with the Chargers, but overlooked. Late round guy, you know, come from Notre Dame. He's cold-blooded, man. And he's in they physical.
Yeah, they'll hit you.
Yeah. Trying to think, who else am I missing? I want to get everybody in. Very rarely we get linebackers get they just do.
Vikings guys?
That'd be Blake Cashman.
Cashman, yeah. Lions guys?
Campbell's good. And he's fast, though. He came from Iowa. He's a good coverage guy. Just probably needs more experience. Chicago has Edwards. Smith. He's okay. And I don't know if I missed anybody. I doubt they take it personal.
Packers?
I don't know who they got.
Okay.
They got the cat from Georgia, but he always is in trouble.
Really? A guy from Georgia is in trouble?
Yeah, but he always get kicked out of the game. Walker's like, I think his last name. Yeah, he always, two personal fouls gone. Yeah, he always is in trouble. He's always interesting to watch, though.
Cowboys.
Nobody that jumps off.
Think about this while we go to break here, Jay. We got a comment from Bada Bing on YouTube. If you guys would have run a 3-3-5 and 95, how would that lineup have looked? We'll get to that when we get back to old school.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmont. Special ingredient butcher shop, 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. Learn more online at themercadobutcher.com. All right, Jay, you had break to think about it. Let's put the 95 team in a 3-3-5 alignment. Walk us through level by level.
95. Well, the 3-3-5. Gonna add. Oh, okay. So it would be Christian, Jason, Jared Tomich, Grant would be one of the, I guess the three, so he'd be on the, like, he was athletic enough to play on 2 feet. Dr. Death, Phil Ellis, myself, and Farley, because he was, you know, kind of already, you know, before, and then we just had the guys that started. I think it was like Mike Minner, Velan, Tyrone Williams, and Booker. So we was ready to go.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a pretty solid defense.
Yeah, so we'd do all right.
Back to the text line here. Gus Mohawk, did you guys have to do the pacer test once a year in PE class with the beeps?
I have not, but I've heard of it, though.
I also missed out on that. I know what it is, though.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Old Dad 34, is Levante David a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Stat-wise, yes. I don't know if they put him in just because of the linebacker, but for sure. I think he is. Because he's a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Unless the year is like a little light. But he'll get in the Hall of Fame, though. For sure.
He's going to be a really interesting case because the numbers are there. Longevity is there. He's going to be a one franchise player, almost assuredly, with Tampa.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Really respect in that community. I think Tampa's reputation has probably improved. You know, so I think that he shouldn't have any issues there. I mean, all people going to bat for him, I think, in some inner circles there from the Bucks brass. It's just going to be interesting, though, Jay, because was Levante David ever, the clear-cut best linebacker in football? He's pretty much been top 10 his whole career.
Yeah.
Probably top five most years. Problem was Luke Kuechly was just as good as he was. And that's a guy that ended up getting more headlines than Levante David did for a while.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Kuechly left, you thought about Levante David, you knew he was there, but he wasn't exactly grabbing all the headlines still.
Yeah, I know that's what sucks, but I still think he'll get in. You know what I mean? I think he'll get in.
And that's the important part.
Yeah, and that's the most important. You know, he won't have to wait that long, but I think he'll get in. And yeah, that's just part of it. It's no different than, you know, people don't realize how good and how dominant Zach Thomas was. Mm-hmm. Ray Lewis, and then on the back end of Junior Seau's career, and there's some other guys that were really, really good as well. So, I mean, it's just kind of a lot of that stuff comes, you know, those timing, you know, when you come into the league, when, you know, then people can really appreciate what you do. And then also how much you know, how long you stay with a team and how well they play. There's some really good players that, you know, like Austin right now, like Google Carlos Dansby's stats. Lance Briggs.
Lance Briggs was a dude who ended up losing Super Bowl to the Colts. So thanks for that. Carlos Dansby, 43 sacks, 1,077 tackles, 20 forced fumbles, and 212 career games.
And how many picks?
He had interceptions. 20 interceptions as well, and 6 returned for touchdowns.
Pretty dang good. Take the name away. Always playing on losing teams.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Hall of Fame.
Cardinals, Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns, Cardinals.
Ugh. Right? But always productive. Lance Briggs.
Only one time all-pro guy, second team in 2013, despite those numbers.
Yeah. Mm. And when you think of... like Lance Briggs, even when now Brian Urlacher was great. Don't get me wrong, right? Lance Briggs is the one that made that defense go.
7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All Pro, was first team All Pro in 2005. His career numbers are 1,181 tackles, 15 career sacks. He had 16 forced fumbles and 16 interceptions in his career.
Alongside playing with a guy that was playing cleanup on aisle 3.
Right.
Aisle 4. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, there's
still getting his.
Getting his. So, there's a lot of really good linebackers that, you know, don't get their just due. I think it's the hardest position to play in besides corner, especially in this day and time.
What makes it so difficult?
Because you got to go up against 300-pound linemen. Sometimes big, I mean, Derrick Henry. Eddie George, you know, guys like, I mean, that's who I played against. I didn't play against Derrick Henry. And then you got to try to cover George Kittle, Travis Kelce, at times Tyreek Hill.
Sometimes Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen. And then you got to try to run down Lamar Jackson. And then they're running, you know, some teams are running more plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so the game's a little bit different. That's probably the biggest difference in the game. I think better football players played when I played. And that's just because guys were more, we had less distractions.
Handled distractions better, more under the radar.
And it's a different time in sports, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And depends on where you are. There's a lot more old school mentality coming back. But I think the biggest thing now is just that how they just keep running plays. It's almost like here's an example. I met Michael Jordan a few times, but I was able to play golf with him once. Not with him, but in the, like, the, you know, the group.
Gotcha.
I did not play with him.
and did not put any money on the line against him, I hope.
No, but I played good and left it on his car, left my number. He never called me. He probably was like, this dude ain't going to be betting. But that they said that made Jordan, first of all, I guess he's a good golfer. What made him even harder to beat was he could keep doubling it. Then he's going to hit.
Yeah.
Well,
he might go 1 for 10, but that one.
Even if he keeps doubling and you hit, he can pay it. Most people can't. That's the mentality sometimes, I think, or a lot of times with the game of football, where it's aggressive, 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 because eventually we're going to hit a big play. Now, I think just like basketball, it, you know, where it's a lot of layups or threes or dunks, right? Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, it's possessions, more mid-range. So when you get the real team, the really good football teams at any level, will first down, strategic, trick play, they're still in the rhythm of old school mentality because that's what's really going to win you football games. But I think overall, right, it's a lot of the aggressiveness because everybody's trying to be that next guru of play calling when all the plays are still the same.
you just know when to call them.
They're just called differently, and they just get to them in different. The plays are still the same.
Not that you were calling plays necessarily, right? But you're communicating them to the defense. But you've I'm sure had your hand in that honey jar to some degree. Is calling plays an art or a science more often?
I think there's an art to it. I think when you make it science, then you get stuck when you face friction.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think there's an art.
Because the science is probably, this is what we should call, like, the science given is, film stuff.
Here's the science. Here's my version of it. Say I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm more of a scheme. And people will look at some, because one coach will view scheme as what I think is a system. Some people think a system is what I view as a scheme. I'll just say a scheme is more or less, I can walk up and down O Street and get 11 people. And I say, as long as you just do what I like, line up here, line up there, it's going to work out.
You follow my rules, we'll be fine.
And there's no breaking. Versus like a system, I think is portable, and it has like a foundation and fundamentals. But you can
principles more than rules.
And you can adapt to certain things. So sure, okay. I primarily might be a 3-4, which is a 3-3-5. I could, you know, essentially say I'm a 4-3, which is essentially I can do that with whatever. But I also can run 3-4 or 3-3-5 against double tights or whatever and be okay. I can run I can run that with that same personnel against 11 personnel or against Ohio State. Now you got to have the horses, but I think, okay, here's an example, right? Remember when I think Bob Diaco came in? Mm-hmm. And the only reason I saw it is because I saw somebody sent me the interview when he was talking about, did you see the strain?
Yes.
And if you see, I'm going to send it to you. If you look in the background, Steve Sippel, it's the funny. I was laughing so I was crying. Sippel was like, what is he saying? Everybody, right? Well, Bob Diaco, when he came in, he wanted to run his 3-4. And that's right. But he didn't have 3-4 personnel. Mm-hmm. Now, you can run your 3-4 scheme, but with 4-3 guys.
If you're adaptable, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And I've played in places like that.
Oh, where would that have been? What are those examples?
In Houston. When we rolled out there with our starting lineup, we had 3 defensive linemen and 4 linebackers. We ran a lot of 4-3 alignments. Over fronts, under fronts, what we call? We call it a double. Did we call it double eagle when we essentially went with a nose tackle and a 3 in another defensive tackle over the guards? The center was uncovered, one kind of power end, and then we morphed that into a 4-3. I mean, we did it all.
Isn't that kind of what you're talking about with Nebraska too, with like what with Ty and Nash? Because Ty is technically an edge, but wasn't always lined up outside.
Yeah, you can play different stuff, and then you can line up that as a 5, a loose 6, a tight 4, a 4-eye. And then you stunt into, and then next thing you know, you're a 3. You could be a 3, and so you can get to different places. That's why all the stuff talking about, I mean, I get it. You got to, you know, do what you need to do. But I think ultimately you just got to go, like, I think that, you know, I know the big thing is, you know, Eckler talked yesterday and I don't know who else talked. But it's like, you got to go out there and just play football. Now, sure, you get asked questions, you got to answer the questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just part of the business. But when you got to do it, you got to go out there and know what you're doing. You got to try to know what the opponent's doing. You got to know what 10 other guys are doing, it, and then you got to execute it more and, you know, more times than not.
More and better.
And better. But you got to have the right intention, then you got to play to win. And that's where I think, you know, the biggest growth is like, yeah, you want guys can to make the play, right? You want it to be, okay, we throw it up, you're going to fight to go get it, right? Probably maybe the difference between Dane Key and Nair, right? Yeah. All right, that's factual. Mm-hmm. That's tangible. But when you're, you know, I always go back to Minnesota against South Dakota State 2019. Cover three is cover three. That has nothing to do with the scheme, the system, how many stars you have, what team you were playing on. Buzz the flat, deep to short, tackle the guy in the flat, but you blitz. And you saw him, and I've been there. And that's the whole thing. They want to set up the plays. I guarantee you that play was set up because somebody saw something upstairs and was like, let's see how disciplined that you are under duress. Mm. Is he going to bite it? Yeah. I've done all this stuff. I can talk freely about it because I've made all the mistakes. All of them. Every single one of them. I've gotten ran over before. My jock strap is still, or girdle is still up there in Pittsburgh via Antoine Randall L.
Former quarterback Antoine Randall.
Oh, but I played him, he was a slot. And like I said, he gave me zigzag. I was still zigging when he zagged. I just kept on running. Yeah, man. I've done all that. I've busted coverages. I've, you know, taken the cheese. I've done all this stuff. I've made wrong checks in the game. I've blitzed when I wasn't supposed to. You just got to make sure you don't do it all the time. I've been late to a couple meetings too.
You've also covered for Gary Walker quite a bit, so I think that makes up for some of your sins.
Gary, Jamie, yeah.
I think you're toned for it.
Yeah.
We'll go to break. We're up at Power One of Old School in a sec.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
And then you start falling in love. What's a man to do? Austin Norman, Jay Foreman with you, wrapping up hour one of Old School. Speaking of falling in love, Jay, David Booth donates $300 million to Kansas Athletics.
I got to get some new friends.
$75 million going toward the stadium. But, Jay, that leaves $225 million for Kansas Athletics to do something with. This seems to me like David Booth is just backing the rev share in a lot of ways. Maybe it's NIL, but I'm sure Kansas isn't exactly a, you know, broke school necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to get $75 million for their ongoing stadium renovation or the next phase of it, and then an extra $225 million just to put in a savings account, that's huge for Kansas. Holy cow.
You must have saw June Henley or somebody play back in the day. You know what I mean? I don't know.
He's a big Aqib Talib guy.
Yeah, Aqib Talib. And what's the Mangino?
Mark Mangino.
He must have.
Todd Reesing.
Yeah, he must have liked them dudes or something, man. That's a lot
of money. He says, we are not letting the next Jamar Chase get away.
Yeah, it was a lot of money, man. And but sometimes that's what you need to catapult your program. So, I mean, more power to him.
A lot of financial competition there in the Big 12 between, obviously, Texas Tech with their investment that we've gone over a lot this offseason. But the largest one-time gift believed to be
in college history. Yeah, and when you think of was it T-Bone Pickens?
Yeah,
I mean, he's passed away, right?
Yeah,
but he's kind of left
the Oklahoma State people
periodic money. I mean, still going to be contributing. So yeah, it's that's pretty big, man. I mean, that's for Kansas and the athletic department and the football team. I mean, this is probably the first time they feel like, all right, we're at somewhat of a decent level, you know, with the basketball team. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
I mean, basketball.
Not, I mean, basketball's still going to be, but at least we got some support. We got $300 million.
Well, I think you can throw, you know, Duke football in that same conversation, too.
Yeah.
Where they're not the joke, they're not the pushover. Obviously, they're both basketball schools, but football is at least pulling its own weight for being in a basketball school.
Right. So it's like, oof. That's a lot of money, man.
So is that a statement about Lance Leipold? They believe in him, the job he's doing? Or is that, hey, Lance, you know you're getting up there. Travis Scott, you got to get the next hire.
I think a little bit of both. I think they believe in him. So, Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, that's pretty cool though, man, when you think about it.
300 mil.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. Hey, here you go. Nothing better to do with it. Put my name on the building. We'll be cool.
I mean, just think about the kids and the grandkids.
The dang, dad.
Dang, grandpa. I'm sure they got something tied in to where they can always like go to games and stuff like that, right?
I would assume so. Yeah. I didn't even know what David Booth did until just now. Chairman of Dimensional Fund Advisors. Has anyone ever heard of that before?
No, I haven't.
I have not. Shell company. Fake. Money laundering. Get it out.
I know, right?
Get it out. Better coach, Charlie Weiss or Mark Mangino?
Mangino, right? He had more success.
Charlie had a good career. One kind of sideways, though. No, I'm just saying in general. I mean, clearly, Mangino.
Probably Charlie Weiss because he was head coach of Notre Dame for a while, right?
He was, like 5 years, 4 years.
Yeah. Did you hear the story about Charlie Weiss and
which one? And
DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
So I guess he must have been at Florida, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's DeAndre Hopkins. I remember being kind of close when he was telling the story. I think it was. So he has I think his uncle or something was with him. It's either him or Sammy Watkins. It was a Clemson receiver.
Okay.
So they go, and I guess Charlie Weiss didn't like never recruited. He just stayed there. So his deal was that he felt like he was going to show you all the Patriot rings and that was going to get you. Well, I guess he just got done working out. Mm-hmm. So he had his back to when you walk into his office. Then he turned around and he didn't have his shirt on, all sweaty. Then he's like, look at my rings. They said, hey, recruiting trip cut short. I'm going to Clemson. It was either Sammy Watkins or Dabo.
I think it was Watkins.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins. Because his uncle is the one that tells the story.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's how he got to Clemson.
Dang, Charlie Weiss.
Yeah. But I mean, Charlie Weiss is a good. I mean, Tom Brady swears by him.
He does.
Yeah, I think he was a good coach. I think he was a good coach.
It became a not great fit
at Kansas
toward the end of his career.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Do you fit the culture? Do you get the support? Do you fit in the city or a state? And with Kansas?
Yeah. But he also coached for the Chiefs then. But that's NFL versus college, yeah. So.
The NFL, you just fit anywhere. Like, he would coach good in Green Bay. I don't think that matters. When in college, you're just out there so much. You gotta be a part of the community, especially in Kansas. Sure. At that point in time,
right, Lawrence, yeah. And yeah,
you just gotta be, you gotta recruit, you gotta make sure all the schools in Missouri's and all them don't, you know, take your Kansas kids and Missouri kids,
right?
And then you're not winning as much, so you're fighting an uphill battle.
1508, Charlie Weiss made $29 million off of buyouts. Woo! Here's $29 million. Go away.
Who's his okay? Agent?
Charlie Weiss agent. Let's see.
We gotta find his agent.
Charlie Weiss's agent. I'm not actually seeing one. At the very least, he does not have one currently. Can you imagine if Charlie Weiss got to keep all 29 mil of that to himself, did his own negotiations? None of that stupid 3% stuff?
Yeah, but I bet you he's so savvy that in his agent contract, it's a certain amount when he's getting paid and a certain amount of buyouts. The buyouts are pretty probably easy. It's already in the thing.
Written in, yeah.
But I guess the agent is like, I got you this money. I'm getting paid the same.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Agents are crooks.
We will go to break when we get back. Plenty more to get to in college football. A little bit of NFL coming up. And Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald will join us at the bottom of the hour. All that ahead here on Old School on the Ticket.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.